All right, in 1 Samuel 16, we were talking to you about faith and how faith has certain components. Faith thinks, faith hears, faith sees, and last week we were looking at faith speaks on page 6 in your notes there. And we talked to you about having a faith mentality. A faith mentality is the mentality that's on the wall behind me that says, nothing will be impossible for me. And last week we ran out of these buttons that I'm wearing that says, nothing will be impossible for me. And I like one of the stewards to come. Do we have a steward still? Jason, you can be a steward for the moment. And Jason will be at the back door. And if you didn't get one of these buttons that says, nothing will be impossible for me, and you want to yes, thank you. No, you can't have them all. You can collect one at the door. Lovely, thank you. I thought that tasted kind of old, so I appreciate that. So we're looking at developing this kind of mentality. It doesn't happen overnight. You grow up speaking a certain way. You imitate your parents. You imitate your school friends. You imitate all kinds of sources that speak into you. And so you learn to talk in a certain way. And sometimes your parents may cuff you for saying things that you shouldn't say. I mean, they wouldn't cuff you, of course. But reprimand you because you said something you shouldn't say. They're really saying, if you're going to be a good person, you talk this way, you don't talk that way. And it's not just negatives, but there's also positives. You learn to say thank you and please and I appreciate you and I love you and I care about you and how can I serve you. All those things are part of a speech of a person who is intending to be a God-honoring person. And faith has a certain speech as well. And you know, somebody said, your confession is your inheritance. Whatever you talk about, that's your inheritance. So if you have your internal conversation and sometimes your external conversation, and you're just constantly rehearsing what is bad, negative, contrary to health and life and blessing and goodness, that's your inheritance. That's your inheritance. And you say, Pastor, well, how can you make that statement? Well, it's really simple. I'm not preaching that message today, but if you'd like a reference, it's Numbers 13, 30 through 33. And, you know, God's leading his people, and he's leading his people, and he's teaching them how to get from where they are to where they're going. But in the process, he's teaching them about the way he wants to relate to them. And so he says, I'm going to give you something, and I want you to go and spy out the land. So they go and spy out the land that God had given them. What has God promised you? Sometimes your observation of the landscape of life is contrary to what God has promised you. That's why I said last week, faith is given to you to work in the realm of contradiction. The word contradiction in the New Testament is also translated opposition, something that opposes you. So God gives you an opportunity to use your faith in the land of contradiction. So they go to the land, and in Numbers chapter 13, the Bible says the 12 spies came back, and what they said was their inheritance. God said, this is the inheritance I provided for you. When they looked at the land, when they opened their mouth, they settled in that land. The 10 spies and most of Israel, with the exception of those 20 and less, inherited the wilderness. That was their speech. Your confession is your inheritance. The 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, no, 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 no. They got all these giants of Walden, but we're well able. And that was their inheritance. That was their inheritance. So do you like your inheritance? Do you like where you're living? In every area of your life, you can just kind of look and say, well, maybe I need to adjust my speech. Adjust my speech about that. And so we were looking at this great story because life is a war, as Clive was saying at the outset of the message today, or the service today. Life is a war. It's a spirit war. If you think it's only an intellect war, then you're going to be a casualty. It's a spirit war. There's a war in the spirit to destroy your health, your family, your relationships, your sense of security, your sense of your future, to make you full of fear and really nullify your life for any good value. It's that kind of war. And so this is a great Bible story. There are other great Bible stories. But this great story that you're familiar with, we were looking at last week when we were talking about the speech of faith. And Goliath in this story represents anything very large that threatens the blessing of God in your life. And I think it's interesting that God put this story in the Bible as a little teenage boy going against a superhuman, a guy that's 9 feet tall. Do anybody have anybody on your street that's 9 feet tall? In other words, if they're 9 feet tall, they're definitely oversized. You know, if you're the parent of a 9 foot tall person, you're not wanting to go look for shoes. It's just too big. It's just too big. And so why is this story? It's a true story. It's not just to fill up the pages. It's, as 1 Corinthians 10, 9 and 10 tell us, it's for us to learn something about the spiritual realm that we live in as opposed to the natural realm. Our enemies are not people. So we're not going around looking for 9 foot tall people and saying, look, I'm going to kill you. We're looking at things that are often seem to be, in human terms, oversized. So, Pastor, can you give me an idea? Yeah. Starts with C. When you say the word cancer, immediately people think that's a Goliath. That's something that's outside any human ability. There's no real cure for many types of cancer. That's a Goliath. So this passage of Scripture gives us some great instruction about how to deal with Goliath. That's why I believe it's in the Bible. Is it, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The opposition. Our faith is given to us to operate in the place of opposition. And I find it's fascinating that all the parts of the story here have significance for us. You know, it's a full-grown soldier against a young teenage sheep herder. Sometimes you don't feel qualified, do you? Hello? And that's exactly what the devil wants you to think and feel. As you can see in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 42, he looked David over and he saw he was only a boy. Everybody say, only a boy. And that's often what the devil says to you. It's only you. It's you. Who do you think you are? You're nothing. You're not powerful. You've never done anything powerful. You've never done any miracles. Just you. There's nothing in your life that qualifies you to be anything other than just human. You know, and if we're not careful, we kind of think these thoughts are our thoughts. But that's a deception. That's a deception I'm well familiar with. You think those thoughts are your thoughts. You think, yeah. Actually, they're not your thoughts because you wouldn't knowingly sabotage your own success. So where do you get the thoughts that destroy your effectiveness to walk with God? Only one other place. The devil. And that's why it's in the Bible. The Goliath says, you're only a boy. You're only a boy. And it says he despised him. The devil despises you. For cause and without cause. He despises you. He's your enemy. And he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? So whatever you think you have in your possession, the devil wants to devalue that as well. Your understanding of the Bible, any success you've had with believing God before, anything at all, he wants you to just look at it. It's just a stick. Just a stick. It's a stick. What's a stick against a giant? That's all you got, stick. Or what are you going to do with a stick? You're going to die with your stick. That's really what he's saying. But I'd like you to look at verse 40. He says, this is David. He says, he'd tried on Saul's armor and it didn't fit. Wasn't used to it. I'm not going to go into that. That's really a wonderful aspect of the story. But he says, so he took off all of Saul's armor. In verse 40, he says, then he took his staff in his hand. That's this stick. It's a staff, but the Philistine called it a stick. There's a difference between stick and staff. We'll leave that. He says, he took his staff in his hand and he chose five smooth stones from the stream. Why is that in the Bible? He took five smooth stones from the stream. Now, I know Bible scholars say, well, Goliath had four brothers, so, you know, just in case, you know. I don't know. He wasn't in my family tree, so I can't tell you. But what I can tell you is five is what? The number of grace in the Bible. And he took them from where? He took them from a stream. I want to tell you, there's grace in the stream. There's grace in the stream right now in your life. And that grace in the stream of God's presence will provide you with what is necessary to destroy the works of darkness. You know, everybody in their life journey will face different kinds of Goliaths. And the strategy in this sense will always be the same. You got to get to the stream and find the stones of grace. They're going to bring him down. You got to get to the stream. If you don't go to the stream, can you imagine David saying, oh gosh, yeah, I can't. Can't wear Goliath stuff. You know, I got a staff. I could whack him, but he's got armor. I don't know, it's a suicide mission. No, that's not the story. Excuse me. The story is David goes to the stream and he selects something that becomes a powerful weapon. A powerful weapon. And this was something he was used to using. God wants us to develop. God wants us to develop something so that we have an instinctive response. Every time a Goliath comes, we gather in our living room and we say to our family, okay, here's the strategy. This is the news. You can call it the bad news, whatever you want. This is the Goliath if you want to call, but this is our strategy. And we're going to just worship the Lord and God's going to speak to us and something's going to come into us. We're going to get some idea, some notion from heaven, and that's going to be our strategy because this is the way God teaches us to live. If you don't do that, the default is you try to grit your teeth and muddle through and hope that somehow, you don't know how, things will change. But if you look at your journey, God says you're there and I want you to succeed there. I'll provide for you there. Get in the stream. Get in the stream. All right, we're talking about the speech. Verse 45, David says, after Goliath had spoken to him, you know, Goliaths are never mute. They'd be a lot easier to deal with if they were mute. but they're not. They speak. And they speak sometimes just inside you. You get their thoughts on the inside. And they're thoughts of threat and thoughts that are intended to induce fear and chase faith away. And sometimes it's just like you heard in Bridget's testimony, it's a medical report. Remember, they told my father he was going to die of a cancer that he had. And at first, and the great contradiction is he had been a man who had seen so many miracles in the course of his life journey. But at this particular juncture of his own life journey, he lay down. He was not saying, he was not seeing, he was not thinking faith. And my mother went to him in the hospital, and she never spoke to my father this way. But you know, it was kind of life and death. That's why what you say is important. And she told me later what she said. Here's what she said. She looked at her husband lying on the bed under the sentence of death, and she said, "Jim, you've always told us that whatever comes our way, that we're to trust God and believe Him, and we'll have the victory. Now it's your turn, and you're lying there moaning. Stop it." Now, those are strong words for a wife to give to her husband. But you know, he didn't hear her. He heard God. And so he did just that. And he got out his Bible. And he got out of his bed well. They did all their tests and said, "Here are all the tests that showed you had the cancer. Here are all the tests that show that somehow it's disappeared. It has disappeared." So in your journey, you will face a Goliath. Probably more than one. And how you respond is the manual. You learn to speak. You learn to think. You learn to see. So first of all, the first principle of the speech of faith is found in verse 45. The Bible says, "David said to the Philistine." Everybody say the word "to." You know, you need to learn to speak two things. And you see in the ministry of Jesus, he spoke two things. Our world teaches you to talk about things. Kingdom mentality, faith mentality teach you to speak two things in Jesus' name. So David said to the Philistine, he said to Goliath. So whatever the Goliath represents in your journey, you speak to it. And you say, "Headache, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you." You see, this is a different speech than you learn in school and your family, generally speaking. But this isn't the speech of this world. This is the speech that comes from heaven. You know, when Jesus was confronted with a demoniac, he didn't say, "Okay, well, we'll see what tablets are available. Are you listening?" He said to the demons, two letters. He spoke to the demons and he said, "Go." He wasn't telling the demoniac to go. He was telling the demons to go. So we learn to speak two things, whether they are literal or whether they are spiritual or figurative. We learn to speak to them. That's why it's in the Bible. We've got to learn to speak to things. So you speak to debt, you speak to poverty, you speak to lack, you speak to division. I can't remember her name, but a woman who used to attend here saw me at the door at the end of the service some years ago, and she said to me, she was really distressed, and she knew it wasn't the time to counsel with me, but she just wanted me to pray for something. And she told me, she said, "I'm really upset, Pastor, that my son," he was an adult, she said, "she hasn't spoken to me in 7 years, and I don't know why." And she had tears in her eyes, and she said, "Pastor, would you pray?" I said, "Right now." I said, "Give me your hand." I took her hand right there, and I said, "What's his name?" And she said his name, and I said his name. I said, "Call your mother this week." And I let go of her hand, and she said, "Thank you, Pastor," and she left. The following Sunday, she came back, smile on her face, beaming. She said, "Oh, Pastor, you won't believe what happened." She said, my son called me on Thursday, and she said the first words out of his mouth were, "Oh, Mom, I'm so sorry." Now, I didn't know the boy. He wasn't there in the stairwell, but he was there. Some words found him. Wherever he was on the planet, some words found that boy. Why? Because life is of a spiritual nature. Of a spiritual nature. And so God wants to teach us all to learn to speak more to things. To speak more to things. Anyway, let's carry on. Too many stories. He says, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and medical report and javelin." Hello. You come against me. Come against. Remember that's what I said? Faith works in the realm of contradiction. That's the word antilogion, which means against logic. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin. That's the best you got. That's the best you have. And you know that we got to kind of downgrade some stuff here. You know? That's what Clive was exhorting us to do earlier. Is that everything on this planet is less than God Almighty. Less than the name of the Lord. And so I like this comparison that David makes as he speaks to his Goliath. You come to me with sword and spear and javelin. Now, most people looking at it humanly would say, "Hey, here's a 9-foot guy, and he's got a sword that's like no other sword. And he's got a spear like no other spear. He's got a javelin like no other javelin." I wouldn't say, Pastor, that those were minimal, minor things. No, no, this little boy says, "What you got is nothing by comparison." Come on now. I want you to pick up your notes. Hold them in your hand right now. I want us to illustrate this. This is bad news. This is really good news, but this paper is going to represent some bad news right now. So this is the bad news, and we're going to speak to the bad news. So I want you to look at the bad news, and I want you to say to the bad news, "You're nothing." Say it again, "You're nothing." Now say it in the most derisory way you can. "You're nothing." You know, it just feels good to do that. Doesn't it? It just feels good to do it. It just feels good to do it. Why does it feel good to do it? I believe it feels good to do it because that's the way God made us. He wants us to put things in their proper size. "You come against me with sword and spear, but I come against." Yes, so once again, this war that we're in. It's a war. It isn't just information that you got. It's bad information, good information, discouraging information, encouraging. Now, this is a war. So if it's a war, you're coming against something. You got to see it. This is a spirit war. This is a spiritual war, according to Ephesians 6. It's a spiritual contest. So that's why your speech becomes so incredibly important. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. I like it. What you say, oh, Pastor, doesn't really matter. Oh, yes, it does. You come with an authority that you've been given by virtue of the name of the Most High God being placed on you at water baptism. Another good reason to get baptized in water. Because you get baptized in water, you got the family name. You don't know who you're messing with. I got the family name. And you're nothing. Besides that, I'm the name, the family name that I'm carrying. I'm telling you, you're a loser. You're a loser. Pastor, that's a bit dramatic. Well, if it works, God bless you. Why would you get baptized into the name anyway? Is it just a kind of a Christian ritual? No. It's not a Christian ritual. It's something that releases the authority of heaven upon your person. And God says, you're carrying that badge around and you've got it hidden somewhere and you haven't been using it. Why don't you get it out? Get it out. Get it out. So let's practice that. I could quit here, but let's practice this a little bit. Let's say, I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Let's say it again. I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Now stand to your feet. This time we're going to say it again. And I want you to say it to whatever you need to be saying it to now. Did you get that? I said, I want you to say it to whatever you need to be saying it to now. Okay? Say, I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Now, before you're seated, I'd suggest you, this is just come to me just now. I'd just suggest to you, you should say that to your mortgage. Amen. You may be seated. Is there anything the name can't fix? Nope. All right, so we got to be people of the name. All right, so he says, I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. If somebody comes against you, they come against the armies of God. If somebody comes against you, they're coming against the armies of God. If somebody comes against you, they're coming against the armies of God. Because you are, excuse me, I'm getting so excited I can't get my words out. If somebody comes against you, they're coming against the armies of God. So, you're not by yourself. That's one of the things the devil has tried to use on me so many times when trouble has come, is this is just your own trouble, your own problem. Nobody else has this. This is a journey. You're by yourself. You're weak. You just got to stick. Oh, no. If there's any opposition, it isn't just against you. It's against all the armies of God. I mean, Goliath could have said, well, I don't see the armies of God. That's right. You don't see them, but you're going to feel them. You don't see them, but you're going to feel them. This is, what I'm talking about is a different mentality. It's a different mentality, a different way of thinking. It's a different way of thinking. Now, let's go. He says, you've come against the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. That's why I said, faith given to you in work in the realm of contradiction. So, the report is, you're going to die. And the devil says, you're going to die. What are you going to open your mouth and say? Yeah, I guess I'm going to die. Where's Marilee? Have we got our funeral sorted out? Come on. No. If somebody or something is defying your good life, the blessed life that God has given you, they're defying Him. Remember, you're not alone. Are you part of the body of Christ? Yes. All right, if you're part of the body of Christ, then Christ is the head. They can't defy your finger and not be defying the head, because it's the head that controls the finger. So an attitude, a stance of faith that's revealed through your speech reveals that you believe, when you are faced with this spirit war with the devil, that you're not by yourself. You have a big brother. You know what I mean by a big brother? Some of you never had a big brother. Some of you never had a brother. Well, I had a big brother. And he's 6 years older. And we lived in some pretty rough neighborhoods growing up. But let me tell you, God helped the person that would beat on me or my younger brother. Because my older brother, my big brother, he'd sort him out. So whenever I was running away from something I shouldn't have been involved with, I was always looking for my big brother. Because I knew protection was there. I would suffer no harm. But where does it fit spiritually? The Bible says that Jesus is your brother. Let me tell you, He's a big brother. He's a big brother. So, when they come against you, they're defying the Lord. Now, notice what else he says. This day. Everybody say, this day.
This day.
Not this month, in my lifetime. I like it. This day. David does not say by and by, or hopefully through the course of this war, eventually, subsequently. No, he says two words, this day. This day. Now, get the picture here. That's a teenager going against a giant. And he says, this day, this day. We kind of live in our world where miracles are needed. We oftentimes can easily float to a place where we hope they happen at some point. David says, this day, this day. Let me tell you, it may manifest tomorrow or next week, but let me tell you, it starts today. Amen. Faith is now. Amen. It's now. It's now. He says, this day. This day. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This is good speech. Really good speech. The Lord will hand you over to me. Number one, I'll strike you down and cut off your head. I'd say that's domination. I'd say that's victory. So you know what? Before David did anything else, he spoke. Before you employ any other strategy, you will often be required to evidence what's going on in here. You got to speak. You got to say it. The Lord will hand you over to me. I'll strike you down and I'll cut off your head. I'll cut off your head. This day. Now, either it's in the Bible for us today, according to 1 Corinthians 10, or it's not. You say, but Pastor, I don't know anybody who talks like that. Well, you're about to. We're all about to begin to learn to speak the way God intended us to speak. I'll strike you down and cut off your head. And then he goes on a little further. Today, everybody say today.
Today.
You know, we have this expression in the New Testament, more than conquerors. This next phrase is what a more than conqueror is all about. He says, today I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air. Whoa. I'm not only going to strike you down, cut off your head, but I. I'll give the carcasses of the air and the beasts of the field the Philistine army. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. See, that's what's at stake. Is there a God in you? Yes. That's what the world is looking to see. There's a God in me. That's why you wear this. That's why you wear it. So the world can see there is a God in Israel. There is a God in God's covenant people. They're waiting for there to be a people who say, you know, whatever report comes my way, I downgrade it. I downsize it because I come in the name of the Lord God Almighty, and I'll strike it down and cut off its head, and I'll have so much victory, it'll just spread over to other people as well. It'll just spread over to other people. Because all those gathered here will know that it's not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves. Sword or spear. What's that? That's what Goliath has. That's what the world system has. Sword and spear. So I got something out of the stream of grace. It's so much more powerful than human effort. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. So this is the speech of faith. Is it you learn to speak to things, even things you can't see. You talk to them. You talk to them as real because they are real, and they will evidence something without your dealing with them. They're going to evidence themselves in one way or the other, in ways you can see. So if the things that are visible or seen are temporal, and the things that are unseen, as the Bible says, are eternal, then what's the most important realm? The eternal realm. You got to operate in the eternal realm in order to change the temporal realm. Because the temporal realm is all governed by the eternal realm. So we have to learn to speak this way. We have to learn the speech of faith. Now lastly, and I'm going to quit here, but I want you to notice verse 48. This is the acts of faith. The speech of faith is speaking to something in the name of the Lord God Almighty and saying what you're going to do to it. Dominating it with your speech. Dominating with your speech because you believe that. Because that's who you are. And that's what you carry. That's what you do. Now, here are the acts of faith. Now, all these things fit together. Verse 48 says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him. You know, sometimes you can get bad news in drips and drabs, and you know, in stages. You know, we thought you had cancer of the first degree, but now we're saying you have cancer of the fourth degree. And besides that, it's spread to this and it's spread to that. What is that? That's Goliath moving closer. He's moving closer. And if you're not careful, when you get the second round of bad news, you're, whoa, this is a little bigger than I thought. Now, what's the Bible say? As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David did what? He ran quickly towards the battle line. So you get up on the inside and you speak and you go toward it. It may not be a physical action, but it's at least an internal one. You're going to confront what is confronting you. You're going to confront what is confronting you. He didn't say, well, you see now, worldly thinking would be, okay, if you got a guy that's a whole lot bigger than you, like I say, I grew up in some rough neighborhoods, so I kind of know about this. If you got a guy that's a whole lot bigger than you, you kind of negotiate, you know, and you assess the terrain and you look for a strategic advantage and, you know, you have some caution and you're looking for some backup, a big brother, you know, something to approach this. No. This teenage boy said, come on! You want a piece of me? I'm going to cut your head off. That's an internal action. That's an internal action. And you got to do it right away. You have to do it right away. You know why? You have to do it right away. Because if you don't do it right away, you start processing. Hello? You know what I'm saying. You start thinking. And you're thinking with the other head. The one that's supposed to be dead. You're thinking with the other head. Well, yeah, you know, if that happens, then, you know, I don't have my will made out yet. And, you know, lose our home. And, you know, you start all that craziness. So we got to do it right away. Immediately. And I want to say this thing. When you go to the stream of grace, it's not like you got to fast and pray for 40 days to hear from heaven about what you should do. God wants you to have an immediate response to the Goliath that's in your face. David could have said, well, you know, but, you know, I'm not a New Testament Christian, so it'll probably take me longer. I've got to do a little fasting and praying now. I mean, looking at the size of you, you know, let's see. You've been threatening us for 40 days. I should be able to at least do some fasting for 40 days. And if I do some, and then maybe I get, you know, a prayer group going around the world and you know, and so on, invite a few. That story would be different. David would be a little grease spot somewhere. No. He went to the stream. Your devotional life is the stream. He went to the stream. And he got a stone. And the Bible says he put it inside. He put it in his pouch. You will get something from the stream that you carry that you're going to bring out, and it's going to go somewhere. And we're going to take this miracle story a little further as we look at this, because I want us all to have so many amazing victories that people are coming from everywhere saying, I don't know about those people. And whatever trouble comes their way, they run quickly toward it. 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 Stand to your feet. I want us to sing your names above all names. Your power is above all powers. And I want to say to you today, as you stand in this meeting before the Lord, And that's what you're doing. You're standing before the Lord. And God's looking at your heart. Right now, God's looking at your heart. He knows your heart all the time. He's looking at your heart. And he's looking at your heart because he's looking at your heart to see the faith that's rising right now there today. That he made you to be a more than conqueror, victorious person. So that you will be a person who sees, who thinks, who speaks, and who acts in a way that pleases him. And I believe the angels are gathered around us today. I believe the angels are here. According to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, the Bible says we're gathered with an innumerable company of angels. And I believe the angels are here today to witness with joy the faith that's rising in your heart. That whatever is opposing you, whatever is contradictory to the promises of God in your life, that as you honor him with your faith, they're cheering you on. If you could only hear them and see them. And the Bible says they're sent here today, right here in this meeting, to minister to you as an heir of salvation. So right now, the angels are hovering over your body. They're hovering over your wallet. They're hovering over your health. They're hovering over your family. Whether they're here in this country or some other country, right now, today, the angels are here that are ministering. Because that's what the Bible says they do. They minister to those that are heirs of salvation. You're an heir of salvation today. Say, I'm an heir of salvation. And if you're an heir, let me tell you, your angels are right here, because the Bible says you've been assigned angels, and the angels are here right now today ministering to you. They're pouring strength from heaven into you. Thank you, Lord. I want us to sing your names above all names. And as you sing to him, your names above all names, your powers above all powers, as you sing it today, you receive the strength of heaven into your spirit man, that your words, your thoughts, your speech, your acts will please God, because they're going to be words of faith that give you victory. This is the victory that overcomes even our faith. Even our faith. Your name's above all names. Your power's above all powers. And your glory fills this place. Your name's above all names. Your power's above all powers. And your glory fills this place. Sing it one more time, your name. Your name's above all names. Your power's above all powers. And your glory fills this place. Your name's above all names. Your power's above all powers. And your glory fills this place. We worship you today. We worship you today. We honor you. We exalt the King of Kings today. Lord of glory. Rock of our strength, we bless your holy name. Lord, we adore you. you we praise your name. We worship you today. We worship you today. Before we leave this place, I'd like to give you a simple instruction. Some of you may take it, some of you may not. But I want to say to you, in the stream this week, there's a smooth stone waiting for you. Get in that stream. Say, Lord, let me take my staff and just kind of dig in this stream here. Let me dig in the stream and uncover that stone. Because that's the stone of victory. That's the stone of breakthrough. That's the stone of transformation. I can't give it to you, but I know it's in the stream. I know it's in the stream. And when God gives you that stream, rather that stone, then you rise up there and you open your mouth. You open your mouth like you should open your mouth. Let the Goliath hear the lion roar out of you. Let the Goliath hear the lion roar out of you.
Yes.
You tell him what his future is going to be. Do what he tells you. Do what the master tells you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that your word says to us today, but thanks be unto God, who always leads us in triumph and who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are those people. We're those people. You're that kind of God, in us, with us, and from us. We might have victory to victory, to victory, to victory. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Hug 9 people.
Bless you. Bless you.